Monster Man, Episode 400, Frog and Fungus. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. After the excitement of a wholly new monster in the last episode, I'm afraid we're going back to some old favorites here, but we'll see if we can't find something fun to do with them. Before we get started, though, we're coming to the end of the year. This is the last week that there are going to be Monster Man episodes out this year. I'm taking the week between Christmas and New Year off, and I would just like to wish from me and Allison and Pepper to you and your loved ones very happy holidays, and I look forward to talking to you again in the new year. All right, let's get started. First off, we've got the frog. These come in three types. You got your giant, your killer, and your poisonous. Now, there is a typo in the descriptions, and I have not been patient enough to go and see if this is true in other stat blocks. That means that the feet and inches are mixed up. So for my metric listeners, the notation for feet is like a single quotation mark, basically a single apostrophe, and for inches is a double, but here they're all just single. So there's one case where they mean to say that the frog is from 6 inches to 2 feet long, but it actually says 6 feet to 2 feet. It's just feet in every case. So that's confusing. So you have to kind of try and intuit their sizes. It does say what size category they are, which is really the important thing. When we look at the giant frog, of course, we've got the rules for grabbing someone with your tongue, and which I have to say, those rules are not very clearly expressed. Say what you like about later editions of D&D. I wouldn't say that their rules are masterpieces of clarity either, but it is usually easier to, you know, not have to do some kind of exegesis to figure out the meaning of a thing, although occasionally one does find that you're getting something wrong and have been forever. I do like the idea of a character being swallowed by a giant frog and having to cut their way out of its tummy, because there's just something absurd about it being a giant frog as opposed to like a giant snake or a blob or some other kind of monster. Like, mechanically, it's all the same. You get swallowed, you're taking damage, and you got to cut your way out. But it is funnier somehow because it is a frog. So it is that combination of like gory horror, legitimate danger, and absurdity that marks a lot of the distinctive character of games like Dungeons and Dragons. Other than that, I mean, I think we know the other types of frog. I don't know if we've run into the killer frog before, but it's like the giant frog, but smaller. So it's just like a large frog, and it has a sharp teeth and claws. And then you got your poisonous frog, which is tiny, but has a contact poison on its skin, as well as a poisonous bite. I don't know if that's true of actual real-world poisonous frogs. I think they're mainly just poisonous if you eat them. That is, they are poisonous as opposed to venomous. But whatever. Frogs are fine. They tend to show up like being ridden by bullywugs or gripplies or whatever, which is always seems a little weird to me. It's as if humans rode into battle on the backs of gorillas, which admittedly would be pretty cool. But they're fine. You know, you're going to do a swampy adventure and you get some frogs. And we got three types of monster into a single page entry. So Monsters Manual is doing really well in terms of efficiency, I thought, until I turned the page. See, here's the thing about this fungus entry. It's two steps forward, one step back with this book. On the one hand, it is great that this single fungus entry contains five types of fungal monster. You got your violet fungus, you got your shrieker, your ficum is your ascomoid, and your gas spore. Now, if you don't remember what ficum is, or I mean, if you don't remember what any of them are, here's the rundown. Violet fungi have kind of like lashy tendrils that make you rot if they hit you. Shriekers are sort of burglar alarms that emit a loud squeal if you come too close to them, or a shriek, I guess I should say. Ficamids hit you with a thing that makes mushrooms grow out of you. Ascomoids roll around kind of like tumbleweeds and they spray out spores. Gas spores are lighter than air. They float. They look a bit like beholders in the dark. And if you hit them, they puff out gas spores, relying for their ecology on people who A, know what a beholder is, and B, think that the appropriate response to seeing a beholder is to run up and give it some longsword. So it's presumably some kind of spore that affects only the foolhardy. So those are the five types. Great. Five types of thematically related monster all in a single compact entry. Wait, what's that you say? See, the problem is that it is not a single compact entry. It is a single amazingly verbose entry. The actual content about the monsters takes up one of the pages. The other page, you got the stat block at the top, and you have an illustration, quite a nice illustration. Some kind of gross, pallid, bloody-looking fungi. Great. But then this entire rest of the page is taken up describing to the reader what fungi are, what a mushroom is, what mold is. They grow in the dark. You can see this for yourself by putting bread in a cupboard. And what it was, I understand that there was a conscious choice to write this as though the readers were like 10-year-olds, because a lot of them probably were. I understand that. I don't necessarily know that that was the right choice, because I think that the kind of the esoteric nature of AD&D was what appealed about it to a lot of younger readers. The strange language, the kind of assumption that you knew what Mongols and stuff were, you know. But okay, whatever. But honest to goodness, this page includes the phrase, quote, "Ordinary fungi do not attack or defend themselves," close quotes. Is that right, book? And here I thought that a mushroom would fight you if you got near it. Is the idea that maybe, like, kids will know the word mushroom, but not the word fungi? Is that? I don't know. So on the one hand, I'm really happy that we've got five related monsters put into one entry. But on the other hand, that entry is wildly overwritten. And I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that if you look at the right-hand page, imagine that the right-hand page was going to be the only page of this entry. There would be nowhere to put the stat block and the illustration. So because of the original form factor of the Monsters Compendium, right, because of the idea that the pages had to be removable, you know, they had to be pulled out and like put in your Monsters Compendium binder, the design brief was clearly to make entries that were exactly one page long or two pages when they could be put like on the front and back of a single page. But this entry is unfortunately like, if you take the second page, which has the stuff you need to know about the monster types, you take the stat block and editorial mandated an illustration, we have about a page and a half. And I really do think that that may have been why someone waffled on for a couple of columns just talking about what is mold, what is a fungus, did you know that fungus can't move or think, and cannot think of another explanation, that it is literally space filler. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm being too cynical about this book. It just has a certain feel to me, you know? I wonder if my monster book instincts are good at all. You think that you've honed your instinct looking at different monster books, but the truth is, so far on this show, we've covered the three core monster books of AD&D first edition, of which only two were produced in-house at TSR, right? The other one's from, effectively from Games Workshop, okay, TSR UK, but has a very different team and a very different way of writing. Then we've got Creature Catalog, which once again is a TSR UK joint. And then we've got Monsters Manual, which is 16 years later than Monster Manual 1. So maybe I just don't actually have enough data points. Maybe I should be reading like Dragon Magazine articles. Well, more Dragon Magazine articles than I already am to get my ear in. But despite that, I think that this entry is fine. I mean, I really, even if it's just two pages, it's still got five monsters in two pages, and that's pretty good. It does, unfortunately, by putting these monsters side by side, it kind of has the effect of revealing that they are very similar to each other. I mean, quite a lot of them, like, shoot spores. But I think if you're going to have a dungeon full of fungus, you've bought into the it shoots spores idea, right? Like, the idea that there's going to be spores is something that everybody's accounting for. So I think it's fine. There were just moments of who thought this was a good idea in looking at this book that can be a little baffling. But overall, I'm pleased with this entry. And the frog one is fine. The monster's not exactly super inspiring, but it's fine. So this is not maybe the most inspiring pair of monsters to close out our 400th episode. But the good news is that it's not really our 400th episode. When I began to number the episodes, I didn't number specials. And I didn't always number my favorite monsters. And of course, then there's patron deities and bonus content. So, I mean, there's over 100 episodes of patron deities alone. But the reality is that this is probably something like the 600th entry in the Monster Man feed rather than the 400th episode. Indeed, it might be more than that. I'm not really sure. I haven't bothered to count, but regardless, you know, it's a nice round number and it feels like a milestone, so it's a fun way to end the year. But we're not quite ending the year because, in fact, there will be two more episodes this week. In the middle of the week, we got an episode of Patron Deities coming out for my Patreon subscribers at the $2 and higher level. And then on Friday, we're going to have a special episode all about a monster chosen by a Patreon backer. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening, and once again, happy holidays.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.